And I'll be reading from the New International Version. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. I looked up the definition of the word blessing. It's one of those words that we often use, but what exactly does it mean? Well, the dictionaries define it in two ways. The first one is regarding blessings from God, and that's God's favour and protection and special favour by God. Sorry, it's not working now, don't think. So God's favour and protection and special favour by God with resulting joy and prosperity. And then there's another definition. The projection of good into the life of another. That means that we, as mortal human beings, can be a blessing to others. Jesus even told us to do that. Luke 6:28, he told us to bless those who curse you. Basically, by definition, we are to project good into the lives of those who say rude and vulgar things against us, using strong emotions or in anger. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? But we've been told to do it. So what blessings have we received from God? Well, there's the obvious things like good job, money, enough money, loving family, good health, nice holidays. By the way, we don't all get the same blessings. And then we have blessings that we don't really think about most of the time. Getting to work safely, the bus arriving on time, or just turning up. Somewhere to call home, food on the table. A table to put food on. Shoes to wear. When I was growing up, my dad had a postcard in his study that started, "I complained I had no shoes." Yeah, I can see why they wanted to complain about that. What about having a God that's always with us, that we can talk to any time of the day or night, and he is always listening? God made a promise to Joshua that Paul then shared with the believers in Hebrews 13:5, showing that this promise is for everyone. God says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." I found it really comforting being able to talk to God any time I want. I've often thought how lonely it must be for those who don't know that God is just waiting for them to talk to him. We haven't even got to get out our phone or hope that the battery doesn't die before we finish talking. He is always there and always waiting to hear from us, to tell him our joys and our sorrows. He is always free to listen to us for as long as we want to ramble on for. Even if we fall asleep, he just hangs in there until we pick up where we left off. What a blessing that is. Some people are blessed with having lovely straight teeth. It may be the result of braces and multiple visits to the dentist, but the result is a lifetime of beautiful straight teeth. I never received that blessing. My teeth are far from straight, and in most people's eyes, straight teeth are the blessing, not the wonky ones. I had some work done in my garden a while back, and at the end of it, all the rubble and excess materials were put on the side of the road waiting for collection. Late at night, I went out with my doggie so she could do her bedtime necessities on the grass across the road, and it was very dark. I could see the silhouette of the pile of bricks, but I forgot about the scaffolding board that was lying on its side, running along the curb. That night, the laws of physics confirmed that if you're walking along, there's a board in front of both of your feet, the body just keeps going, but the feet don't. I ended up flat on my face in the road. My hands were the first thing to make contact with the tarmac, followed very quickly by my wonky front tooth. Teeth and tarmac are not a good combination together, and the tarmac will always win in any sort of a battle. I was annoyed. I just lay there flat on my face, hardly daring to check and feel the gap where my tooth had been 30 seconds earlier. But when I checked, my tooth was still there. I got up, went inside, checked again. My tooth was still there. In the morning, I woke up. It must have fallen out. But I checked and it was still there. Soon the cracks began to show and I could see how my crooked tooth sitting behind my crooked front tooth had also cracked. If I had been blessed with beautiful straight teeth like I always wanted, there would have been nothing to protect my front tooth. And I'm sure I would have ended up with at least one tooth less than when I left the house that night. The tooth sitting behind my front tooth was able to support that tooth and stop it from being knocked out. Since that day, I've been thanking God for blessing me with wonky teeth. When I was in Cambodia, every day of survival was a blessing. Every evening when I got home, I would thank God for his protection, because humanly speaking, I should probably be dead, or at the very least, very seriously injured. I didn't just have an angel protecting me. I think I had a whole host of them. And you know what? I kept them really busy for 18 months. As you can see, I'm home, I'm alive, and I'm still in one piece. I was blessed. Everywhere I went, I had a small bag across my shoulders with my phone, keys, money, and camera. The camera was essential because you never knew when the need would arise, and at the time I didn't have a phone quite good enough for the photos that I wanted. One Sabbath, things didn't go particularly well for me. At church, I opened my purse to take out some money for the offering, but it was empty. I had forgotten to put any money in. How annoying. Then, after church, I was going to listen to some music. But, alas, even though I had the headphones, I had forgotten the iPod. No offering and no music. I was annoyed. I was not receiving my usual Sabbath blessings that day. On the way home, things went from bad to worse. I got robbed, dragged off my moped. My bag was gone. Keys, phone, purse, empty purse, camera, headphones, everything gone. Obviously, I was pretty bashed up too, because a speedy and close encounter with the tarmac and a heavy moped landing on top of me did not bode well. It might sound like it, but I don't actually make a habit of crashing onto the tarmac. I was definitely not receiving any blessings that day. I was annoyed. Now, looking back on that day, was I blessed by God? It's easy to say no, but when they grabbed my bag, I should have been dragged down the road with it. I wasn't. That really was a blessing. Sorry. I was helped up. That was a blessing too. Because as I was informed later by numerous people, normally the locals would just sit and enjoy the entertainment, having a little bit of a giggle, watching a white European being robbed, but not today. They actually came, helped lifting the bike off me and helping me off the road. They tried cleaning my wounds with petrol from my petrol tank, but I kindly declined that offer. I'd never heard of that before. They were insistent. I was very insistent too. Did I lose any money? No, I had none to lose. Did I lose my iPod? No, I'd left it at home. Did I lose my camera? Yes. But did I lose all the photos holding those memories? No, I had downloaded them all the night before. Did I die? No. So for me, forgetting my money and iPod was absolutely a blessing. I just didn't know it at the time. I had been annoyed with myself for forgetting them, but God showed me that even though bad things happen, he still cares and pours out his blessings during those hard times too. Let's look at Moses, poor bloke. It's as if life was against him right from the start. As soon as he was born, he had to be kept a secret. Crying would quickly be hushed because Pharaoh had had enough of the Israelites because there were so many of them, and he went out to cull the newborn boys. When Moses was 3 months old, his parents couldn't hide him anymore, so he was wrapped up, put in a basket, and left in the river between the reeds. Things aren't going particularly well. He's taken from the water by a beautiful princess, who then allows him to go back to his family for a while. At last, there was safety, and the whole family could relax and enjoy having their baby boy, no longer having to keep him a secret. While still a boy, Moses was taken from his loving family and sent to live with strangers, probably even having to call one of them mother. He grows up with strange gods all around him, but still remembers the God of heaven taught to him by his parents. He witnesses his people being badly treated. Sorry, maybe even seeing his family being beaten and worked to the bone. One day he was so annoyed, he snaps, killing one of the Egyptians. Now a murderer, wanted by Pharaoh, he runs and is a fugitive in a foreign land. He ends up working for Midian priest and becomes a shepherd for his flock. It's not a fun life being a shepherd. Just think about it. You will have sole responsibility for this flock of sheep. In one way, it's a good job that they're sheep because they just follow each other. If one goes the right way, they are all sure to follow. Problem is that if one goes the wrong way and gets too close to the edge of a ravine, the rest are sure to follow, and the shepherd may well come home with quite a few less sheep than when they went out in the morning. A shepherd's employer wouldn't be too happy about that, obviously. So it's the shepherd's job to keep them on the right path. It's not quite so hard these days, but back then, Moses didn't have a sheepdog. Sheep needed food, which is why they graze all day. It would have been Moses' job to make sure they had enough to eat, so there would have been a lot of moving around from one place to the next, looking for grass to eat. Exodus 3:1 says that Moses led the flock to the far side of the desert. Jethro, his boss, had given his daughter Zipporah to Moses as his wife, but with so much wandering around with his sheep, he may have been gone long periods without seeing her. Imagine that, newlyweds, and the husband goes off on a business trip for a few months to the other side of the desert. And another, and another. How annoying. It's not conducive to a healthy marriage, but they managed it. It would have been a very lonely life for Moses. No home comforts, sleeping with one eye open in case a wild animal came looking for dinner. That's no exaggeration, by the way. 1 Samuel 17:34-36. David was talking to Saul and he said, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear." Imagine being sleep deprived and having to risk your life to fight off wild beasts to protect your employer's business. But that's exactly what good shepherds did. Moses had sole responsibility for a whole flock of sheep. The personal attributes in the job description of a shepherd would probably read something like this. Brave warrior, strong and of good courage, good at problem solving, enjoys own company, no family ties. Contracted hours, 168 hours a week. That's 24 hours a day, every week. Then one day, out of the blue, God called him back to Egypt, the very place he had fled from. Sure, the Pharaoh had died, but he wasn't the only one that knew what Moses had done. What if someone else tried to kill him? That's not really the place you want to go back to. But he went. He had forgotten a lot of the language, as he hadn't spoken it for 40 years. And in Exodus 4:10, he says to God, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Apart from being given a wife and a son, nothing has really gone well for him in his life. He's now sent to speak to Pharaoh and make a demand that, humanly speaking, would never be agreed. God told Moses that the Pharaoh trying to kill him had died, but Moses' Egyptian mother was probably Pharaoh's daughter, so the new Pharaoh was highly probably his Egyptian uncle. It wasn't a stranger that he was going to visit. It was his adoptive family. Well, Moses went to speak to Pharaoh on multiple occasions, but just got ridiculed and had murderous threats thrown at him. He eventually left Egypt with thousands of Israelites, just as God had instructed him. In the morning, he had responsibility for his wife and sons. That night, he had responsibility for his flock of thousands of people. Just like that. The Bible tells us that he was 80 years old at this time. That's generally a time when retirement has kicked in, and we just want to put our feet up and relax and enjoy life. Not so for Moses. This was just the start, and he was in it for the long haul. How annoying. The Egyptians chased them and cornered them between the mountains and the Red Sea. Everyone complained to Moses. God saved them and led them safely through the sea. They got thirsty and complained to Moses. They got hungry and complained to Moses. They got bored of their food and complained to Moses. They were shown the promised lands, but once again they complained to Moses and refused to go in. That was the turning point for the Israelites. They had to wander around 40 years in the wilderness because of this. And that generation knew that they would never enter the promised land. Poor Moses, he's put up with all this complaining. He's led God's people all this way, only to be told that they can't cross into the promised land and that he will have to stay in the desert for 40 years. How annoying and soul-destroying. Do you think at this point Moses felt that any blessings from God had run out, even if they had existed at all? To top it off, while the Israelites are having another good moan at Moses because they're thirsty, he loses his temper and he strikes the rock. That's it. God tells him that he won't be entering the promised land either. Poor Moses died in the wilderness, and he never did enter the promised land. I don't think I would have coped with everything that Moses went through. In fact, I know I wouldn't. His life was one hardship after another, from the day he was born to the day he died. They talk about the patience of Job, but I think Moses certainly deserves to share that title. Was Moses blessed throughout his life? Did anyone project good into his life? Did God show him favour? Did God protect him? Did he have joy and prosperity? I'd like to suggest a few blessings that Moses received. He probably didn't see them as blessings at the time, but what about the fact that he was allowed to be raised by his parents in safety? He was at home long enough to learn about the true Creator God in heaven. He escaped Pharaoh's murderous attempts. He learned how to be at peace and content in his own company. He learned patience He learnt how to protect his flock and fight wild beasts. When he was scared to speak to Pharaoh, God sent his brother Aaron to speak for him. Exodus 4:14-16, God says, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him." He didn't have to go and face Pharaoh alone. Not only did his brother go and do the talking for him, the elders went with them too. God tells him in Exodus 3:18, "The elders of Israel will listen to you, then you and the elders are to go to the king." Safety in numbers is always more comforting, isn't it? He was used by God to lead thousands of his people out of slavery. Not only did he converse directly with God, but he spent weeks in his presence. He learned that he was not alone and he could depend on God. He went to a better place than the Promised Land. After his death, he was raised to life, and he is now living in heaven with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Moses truly was blessed, but he may not have realized it during all the hardships that he experienced. As Susan comes forward, I'd like us all to ponder on the words that she brings to us now. Would be perfect here. That's what we have to look forward to in heaven. Was Jesus' life on earth free from trials? No, of course not. So we shouldn't be surprised at trials that we suffer too. The devil works hard in each of our lives, and he tries to turn our focus from God to anyone or anything else, in order to stop us seeing how much God loves us and has blessed us. God promises us in Micah 3:10 that if we are faithful, he will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so many blessings that you will not have enough room for it. Remember the postcard in my dad's study? The author had no shoes, and he complained like most of us would. He saw no blessing there at all, like most of us wouldn't. It didn't end there, though. It said, "I complained I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet." When you're annoyed, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Look back at your life, the highs and the lows. You will find blessings too numerous to count, and for that, we give God thanks. Amen.